to give you a little extra exercise this morning. Good morning, Chancellors Emeriti, Principals Emeriti, members of the Board of Governors, distinguished guests from near and far, members of the McGill community, welcome to all on this important occasion in the life of our university. J'aimerais souhaiter une très chaleureuse bienvenue à la famille et aux amis de notre nouvelle principale et vice-chancelière, Suzanne Fortier. And I would like to extend a special greeting to His Excellency, the Right Honorable David Johnson, as Governor General, Visitor, as Principal Emeritus of McGill University. The close relationship that McGill University has with the Visitor can be traced back to our charter and is enshrined in our statutes. Je donne la bienvenue à Monsieur Pierre Duchesne, ministre de l'Enseignement supérieur, de la Recherche, de la Science et de la Technologie, et également au Dr. Guy Breton, recteur de l'Université de Montréal. Many have come today from sister institutions in Canada and the United States to present their greetings. And all of us, of course, are here today to witness the installation of Professor Suzanne Fortier as the university's 17th principal and 13th vice chancellor. I now invite Mr. Stuart Cobbett, chairman of the Board of Governors, to come to the podium and begin the proceedings. Mr. Cobbett.
I, Stuart Hanson Cobbett, President of the Royal Institution for the Advancement of Learning and Chair of the Board of Governors of McGill University, in the name of the Board of Governors, do present you, Suzanne Fortier, to be invested with the office and title of Principal and Vice Chancellor.
Steinberg, Chancellor of McGill University, in the name of the Board of Governors of the University and by the authority of the statutes, do invest you, Suzanne Fortier, with the office and title of Principal and Vice Chancellor in order that you may administer this office in accordance with the statutes, privileges, liberties, and customs of the University. is my pleasure to present His Excellency, the Governor General of Canada.
I, David Lloyd Johnston, Governor General of Canada, and by letter patent given by our gracious Queen Victoria in the 16th year of her reign, visitor of this university, do receive Suzanne Fortier to the office of Principal and Vice Chancellor of the University, and in testimony thereof, I entrust the charter and seal of the university to her keeping.
Suzanne Fortier, promise to faithfully carry out the duties entrusted to me and accept in my keeping the charter and seal of McGill University. Moi, Suzanne Fortier, promets de m'acquitter fidèlement des fonctions qui me sont confiées et accepte de prendre sous ma garde la charte et le sceau de l'Université McGill.
Pleasure to invite Professor Hans Ola Eriksson, McGill University's organist, who will perform the Hymn of Remembrance by Keith Jarrett.
Thank you.
Professor Saroyan.
Monsieur Pierre Duchesne, ministre de l'Enseignement supérieur, de la Recherche, de la Science et de la Technologie, gouvernement du Québec. Dr. Guy Breton, recteur, Université de Montréal. Professor Hanadi Sleeman, faculty representation of McGill University. Ms. Aurora Shaughnessy, the administrative and support staff of McGill University. Ms. Sophia Maria Giannakakis, the students of McGill University.
Bonjour à tous. Je suis très heureux de participer à la cérémonie d'installation de la principale et vice-chancelière de l'Université McGill, une université publique profondément enracinée dans le sol québécois et qui contribue de façon exceptionnelle au rayonnement de la créativité et du savoir québécois à travers le monde entier. Un rayonnement d'autant plus significatif que McGill compte dans ses rangs un peu plus de la moitié de ces étudiants qui sont originaires du Québec, ce qui enrichit, bien sûr, l'expérience de formation et les échanges avec d'autres issus de nombreux horizons et de partout à travers le monde. McGill est une institution qui a su évoluer avec la société québécoise, notamment en accueillant un nombre important d'allophones et en réservant une place de choix à sa communauté francophone. D'ailleurs, je tiens à souligner de façon particulière l'arrivée en fonction de la première rectrice francophone de l'histoire de l'Université McGill. Nous en sommes très fiers. Madame Fortier, je suis d'autant plus heureux que je suis convaincu que vous portez avec vous les valeurs, les rêves et les ambitions de cette grande et belle institution qu'est l'Université McGill. Je ne doute pas que vous saurez l'amener plus loin qu'elle-même en préservant son identité et les valeurs qu'elle porte. Et ce chemin à parcourir, Madame Fortier, le ministère de l'Enseignement supérieur le fera de concert avec vous. Depuis un peu plus d'une année, la Première ministre du Québec m'a en effet confié le ministère de l'Enseignement supérieur, de la Recherche, de la Science et de la Technologie, un nouveau ministère entièrement dédié au savoir de haut niveau. Avec l'ensemble des membres des communautés universitaires, j'ai pu résoudre l'une des plus importantes crises que le Québec avait connues, et j'ai constaté qu'il fallait donner un sérieux coup de barre et lancer des réformes en enseignement supérieur. Le sommet sur l'enseignement supérieur en février dernier a mis fin à la crise étudiante. 5 chantiers en ont découlé et 7 mois plus tard, 3 rapports ont été déposés. L'aide financière aux études a été modifiée. La création du Conseil national des universités est imminente. Et nous proposerons dans les prochains mois une loi cadre sur l'enseignement supérieur. Votre gouvernement, celui du gouvernement de Pauline Marois, a annoncé qu'il va investir dans ses universités de façon supplémentaire 1,8 milliard de dollars d'ici 2019. Et le 16 octobre dernier, je dévoilais la politique nationale de la recherche et de l'innovation, une politique ambitieuse, 3,7 milliards de dollars sur 5 ans. Chère Madame Suzanne Fortier, je vous souhaite donc un mandat lumineux au cours des prochaines années. Et n'oublions jamais pour qui nous faisons tout cela aussi, c'est-à-dire notre jeunesse, nos beaux esprits. Et rappelons que la grandeur de l'Université McGill s'est illustrée historiquement dans un Québec qui a su déployer avec ténacité et fierté sa langue et sa culture, qu'il en soit ainsi dans l'avenir. Merci.
Your Excellency, the Right Honorable David Johnston, Governor General of Canada. Monsieur le Ministre de l'Enseignement supérieur, de la Recherche, de la science et de la technologie, Mr. Chancellor of McGill University, Madame Principale et Vice-Chancelière de l'Université McGill, distinguished guests, dear colleagues, chers invités, chers collègues, it is a great honor for me to return here today to my alma mater and to be part of this beautiful and inspiring ceremony. Madame Forcier, on behalf of the leaders of Canadian universities, may I welcome you as a new leader, as a new colleague, and assure you of our full and entire cooperation. Madame Forcier, au nom des chefs d'établissements universitaires du Canada, bienvenue parmi nous et soyez assurés de notre collaboration la plus entière. To lead a university such as McGill is an immense privilege. Today, we convey on you our crown jewels into your keeping. A crown jewel that is among the most brilliant in the university world on the planet. I know, I am sure that you will take the best possible care of it because I know your passion for knowledge. Today, our personal responsibility as heads of university has never been greater. In this century, where game-changing surprises come fast and furiously, knowledge is the most important tool we have for adapting to change. And our universities, which are the very repositories of this knowledge, are themselves becoming the engines of our social, scientific, cultural, economic development. Consider our metropolitan area. What makes Montreal important today is not the presence of so many head offices, nor is it Montreal's central position in the network of travel routes. What makes Montreal such a great city is its universities and interconnecting networks of knowledge. When we look at the major international rankings, we see just how special Montreal is. We find here in Montreal two universities ranked among the top 100, yet operating in two different languages. Cette réalité qui est la nôtre est très rare dans le monde et elle est très précieuse. En attirant des chercheurs et des jeunes de partout sur la planète, nous approvisionnons la métropole en talent et en créativité, qui sont ses deux plus grands attraits. And in that way, we also contribute to the advancement and influence of the entire country. Madame Principal and Vice Chancellor, may I wish you every possible success in your new role. Thank you.
Members of the university and distinguished guests, it is my great honor and my pleasure to welcome you, Madame Principal, on behalf of the professors at McGill University. J'ai le privilège et le plaisir de vous saluer, Madame la Principale, au nom du corps professoral de McGill. We welcome you as the head of a vibrant and dynamic community of scholars who are committed to excellence in research and in teaching, and who are steeped in a tradition of unique collegiality and a sense of community. Within our beautiful city and province, McGill has been able to attract an unusually large number of superb new faculty members who have joined our excellent current faculty members over the last 10 years. You arrive at a very special time of growth and optimism at McGill, when world-class research and teaching initiatives are underway in every department and every unit of this university. We look forward to your participation in these great projects, and I am confident that under under your leadership, McGill will rise to new heights. Madame la Principale, au nom de tous les professeurs, je vous souhaite la bienvenue à McGill. Je suis aussi personnellement très heureuse de vous accueillir au sein du département de chimie. Madame Principal, I speak on behalf of all McGill academics in welcoming you to our community, in assuring you that we will stand behind you in your pursuit of excellence for our university, and in wishing you the very best in the years to come.
Excellency, members of the university community, distinguished guests, Madame Fortier, au nom du personnel administratif et des employés de soutien de l'université, j'ai l'honneur de vous accueillir à titre de 17e principale et 13e vice-chancelière de McGill. I welcome you enthusiastically, and I must confess to taking great additional delight in the fact that you are McGill's first female graduate to hold the office. In my position as Senior Executive Director of Alumni Relations, I am in constant contact with our worldwide network of graduates, and I know they are as proud as I am that a fellow alumnus will be leading this great institution. Vous n'êtes pas avec nous sur le campus depuis très longtemps, mais déjà, vous avez très clairement exprimé votre amour pour McGill. It has been enormously heartwarming to hear you speak of your sense of coming home, of how the people you encountered as a student embraced you, mentored you, and opened up for you a world of rich possibilities. No matter what role we fill at the university, the fervent wish we all share, what we all strive for, is to ensure that our students come to cherish their time at McGill in the very same way. As Bob Vogel, the late esteemed Dean of Arts, used to say, McGill provides an excellent education. It cannot be taken away, lost, or devalued through the years, but rather it inspires graduates in imperceptible ways to learn more, to understand more, to question more, and in time, to appreciate what the McGill experience has done for them. Nous avons foi en McGill, en son histoire et en ses traditions. Et nous sommes particulièrement convaincus qu'un avenir prometteur attend notre université sous votre leadership, Madame la Principale. The solutions to so many of the problems that plague our world lie in education, with its research eminence, its academic distinction, and its international reach. McGill's role in society is thus a critical one. The staff for whom I speak today take great pride in the important part we play in advancing the university's mission. We eagerly look forward to our partnership with you. We pledge our loyalty as McGill's support staff in the true and full sense of the word to protect, complement, assist, and sustain. Madame Fortier, au moment où une ère nouvelle s'ouvre à McGill, nous sommes ravis de vous souhaiter un bon retour chez vous. Veuillez accepter nos plus sincères félicitations en cette occasion très spéciale.
Son Excellence le très honorable David Johnson, le chancelier Arnold Steinberg et Madame la Principale et vice-chancelière Suzanne Fortier. Je suis très honorée d'être en présence de gens très accomplis en tant que représentante des étudiants et des étudiantes. When I was asked to give this speech, I turned to McGill's motto, "By work, all things increase and grow." But if you would just allow me to borrow a quote from Manlius's Astronomica, "The end depends upon the beginning." I thought this to be more appropriate for the occasion because both the principal and the students are at a new starting point in their lives. But beginnings are sometimes peculiar experiences. For instance, during the first week of school at McGill, a student may encounter another student running down McTavish in a strange frosh costume. But you never know. They may be a future Nobel laureate or president of NSERC. Other unique sights at McGill may include students at the gym reading the Odyssey while on a treadmill,
testament to our multitasking generation, or playing Quidditch down on Lower Field. Although some McGill students may be living a Dionysian-Apollonian dichotomy, remember that within our playful youthfulness lie serious scholars, ready to make a contribution to the academic world and to society any which way we can. Even if our beginnings may be unique and diverse, we are students eager to learn from amazing people and to continue learning for the rest of our lives. Because in the end, McGill students know that together, by work, all things increase and grow. Nous vous souhaitons un bon retour à McGill et bon succès.
Dr. Indira Samarashekara, President and Vice Chancellor of the University of Alberta. Okay. Mr. Paul Davidson, President of the Association of Universities and Colleges of Canada. Mr. Michael Goldblum, President of Bishop's University. Dr. Gloria Waters, Vice President and Associate Provost for Research, Boston University. Professor Olivia Jensen, representing the University of British Columbia. Professor Leon Glass, representing the University of Chicago. Dr. Alan Shepard, President and Vice Chancellor of Concordia University. Dr. Reg Weiser, representing Dalhousie University. Reverend William Gray, representing Huron University College. Professor Filippo Sabetti, representing Indiana University. Dr. Daniel Coderre, Directeur Général, Institut National de la Recherche Scientifique. Dr. Lawrence K. Fung, representing the University of Manitoba. Mr. Brian R. Daly, representing Memorial University. Ms. Christina Vroom, representing Mount Allison University. Dr. Sarah Doyman, President of Ontario College for Art and Design. Professor Allison Christians, representing New York University. Professor Elodie Guédin, representing the University of Pittsburgh. Dr. Dr. Christophe Guy, Directeur Général, École Polytechnique de Montréal. Dr. Robert Proux, Recteur, Université du Québec à Montréal. Dr. Danielle Wolf, Principal and Vice Chancellor of Queen's University. Professor Susan Drouin, representing Royal Roads University. Dr. Sean Riley, President of St. Francois Xavier University. Dr. Danielle Donnelly, representing Simon Fraser University. Dr. Eileen Bush-Wozniak, President and Vice Chancellor of the University of Saskatchewan. Dr. Cheryl Reguerre, Vice Provost, Academic Programs, University of Toronto. Ms. Angeline De Bruins, representing Vancouver Island University. Professor Armando Jardim, representing the University of Victoria. Dr. Heather Vo, representing Washington University in St. Louis. Mr. David Stenison, representing University of Western Ontario. Professor Adrian Shepherd, representing Yale University. Dr. André Dussault, Harvard University.
I invite Professor Suzanne Fortier to present Ms. Nathalie Bondil and Maestro Boris Brock that they may have conferred upon them the highest degree that is within the power of the university to grant. We will begin with Ms. Bondil, followed by Maestro Brock. Madam Principal.
A cone-shaped brazier can be art, just as much as a painting or a sculpture can be. In her 13 years as chief curator of the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts and 6 years as its director, Nathalie Bondil has been challenging traditional ideas of art with innovative exhibitions that have won acclaim around the world. En Espagne, mais une femme de la Provence, Madame Bondil est titulaire de diplôme en histoire de l'art de l'École du Louvre et de l'Institut national du patrimoine à Paris. Sa vision a contribué à asseoir la réputation du Musée des beaux-arts de Montréal sur la scène internationale grâce aux premières rétrospectives mondiales d'icônes de la mode comme Yves Saint Laurent, Denis Gagnon et Jean-Paul Gaultier. Ms. Bondil is also passionate about taking the arts out of neat categories and has curated original multidisciplinary exhibitions that bring together Andy Warhol's pop art with dance and combine painting, film, and of course music to create an exciting multi-texture portrait of jazz legend Miles Davis. Bondil's wide-ranging taste and unquenchable curiosity have helped open the museum up to world culture with exhibits like this year's Peru, Kingdom of the Sun and the Moon. It is no understatement to say that Nathalie Bondil has transformed the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts. Under her leadership, the museum reinvented its pavilion of decorative arts and design, expanded its public sculpture garden, and added a fourth pavilion with a fifth dedicated to international art set to open in 2017. In 2008, the museum acquired a 110-year-old church complete with Tiffany stained glass windows. In its new life as the Bourgie Concert Hall, that church now welcomes some 45,000 music lovers each year. Ms. Bondil once asked, "What use are beautiful galleries if there are no visitors?" If there's a single theme running through her career, it is accessibility. C'est pourquoi elle a dirigé les travaux d'agrandissement des installations éducatives du musée dans le but de doubler le nombre de visiteurs d'âge scolaire, pour le faire passer de 50 000 à 100 000 par année. Le musée compte maintenant le plus grand nombre d'abonnés au Canada et se classe au deuxième rang au chapitre du nombre de visiteurs. Miles Davis believed that a painting is music you can see, and music is a painting. Whether it is seen, heard, or felt, for Nathalie Bondil, the important thing is that art is experienced. C'est avec un immense plaisir que j'invite maintenant notre chancelier à conférer à Madame Nathalie Bondil le plus insigne honneur de l'Université McGill a le pouvoir de décerner le doctorat S. Lettres honoris causa. Only the most loyal musicians would follow their maestro to the mouth of Hades, or its near equivalent, the mouth of a steel factory's blast furnace. But that is exactly the kind of dedication that Boris Brat inspires. During his 21 years as artistic director and conductor of the Hamilton Philharmonic Orchestra, he turned a blue-collar town into a blue-chip musical haven by very literally taking the music to the people. Il envoyait de petits groupes de musiciens se produire dans des centres commerciaux, des écoles et des bibliothèques. Et oui, c'est bien à sa demande que l'ensemble Canadian Brass a fait ses premières armes dans une acérie, un véritable baptême du feu. Boris Brat was born in Montreal to cellist Lottie and conductor, violinist, and composer Alexander. Young Boris was a late bloomer, waiting until the age of 5 before making his solo debut with the Montreal Symphony Orchestra. At 14, he won the Pan American Conductor's Prize in Mexico City. By the time he reached adulthood, he had already conducted the Mexican National Symphony and Britain's Northern Sinfonia and founded the Philharmonic Youth Orchestra of Montreal. His career has taken him around the globe, delighting audiences with California's New West Symphony, the National Academy Orchestra of Canada, Italy's Teatro Petruzzelli, the Royal Ballet of Covent Garden, and the BBC National Symphony of Wales, to name but a few. Il est le directeur artistique du Festival de musique Brott, qui se tient en Ontario et dans sa ville natale, de l'Orchestre de chambre de McGill, formé par son père en 1945. Boris Brott's inspired gift for the unexpected, a hallmark of his time with the Hamilton Philharmonic, has not dimmed over the years. There is a long tradition of musical greats trading career in law to follow their artistic passions, from Handel to Stravinsky to Schumann. Never content to follow the status quo, at age 48, Boris Brott did the reverse. He enrolled in law school at the University of Western Ontario. Mr. Brott has since built a successful side career using his musical expertise and ability to captivate an audience to teach corporate creativity to Fortune 500 executives. Depuis plus de 50 ans, Boris Brott se consacre à promouvoir le développement artistique sur scène, dans les salles de conférences et dans les aciéries. Pour cet engagement indéfectible, nous lui disons bravo, maestro, bravo. It is with immense pleasure that I now call upon our Chancellor to confer upon Mr. Boris Brott the university's highest honor, the degree of Doctor of Music Honoris Causa.
Now listen to the university fanfare performed by Professor Erickson.
Thank you.
with immense pleasure that I now invite Principal Suzanne Fortier to deliver the installation address. Principal Fortier.
Your Excellency, Minister Duchesne, Chancellor Steinberg, Chairman Kobeck, guests, thank you all for being here. C'est un énorme bonheur de voir parmi vous tellement de membres de ma famille, mes amis et mes collègues, et bien sûr, mon mari Douglas et mon fils Thomas. Vous m'avez toujours accompagné dans mes rêves, mes défis, mes aspirations et mes coups de cœur. Vous m'avez guidé et vous m'avez aidé à demeurer fidèle à mes buts, à mes valeurs et à mes principes. Merci énormément. It's a privilege to follow Heather Monroe Bloom, McGill's first woman principal, and to build on her decade of leadership. I'm honored that she is here today. Merci, Heather. So too am I honored to welcome past chancellors, board chairs, and principals of McGill, and of course, our Governor General, who is not only principal emeritus, but also McGill's visitor. Merci beaucoup. It is wonderful to see among you so many former colleagues and dear friends from Ottawa and NSERC, from Queen's University, the Hopman Woodward Institute, and McGill's sister universities. What a thrill it was for me to re-enter the Roddick Gates on September 5th. It brought back many happy memories of my days as a McGill student, of the friends I made here, and the professors and staff who helped make the university my home. The world I grew up in was far removed from the world of academia. Nous avions trois livres à la maison, le dictionnaire Larousse, la Bible, et le catalogue de chez Eaton's. J'en ai passé du temps le nez dans ces livres. Et ça, jusqu'au jour où mes parents, se rendant compte de ma passion pour la lecture, m'ont ouvert un compte à la librairie du coin. Quel bonheur! J'ai aussi passé beaucoup de temps à regarder le globe terrestre et à apprendre le nom de tous ces pays, avec leur capitale, bien sûr, que je croyais ne pouvoir découvrir que dans mes livres. My parents ran the hotel in our village, Saint-Timothée. People came there to dance, and they came to drink. They came to live with us when they were homeless. Even as children, it was clear to my sisters and my brother and me that others saw our home as a flawed environment in which to raise a family. We didn't see it that way. We grew up in a loving home. We learned that just because some of the people we knew were down and out, that did not make them lesser human beings. They were smart, but not educated, and they saw many doors closed to them. And from them, I learned about the importance of education. As children, we learned that we all have flaws. We learned about respect and compassion. Many years later, I heard the words of a great McGill alumnus, the poet and singer-songwriter Leonard Cohen. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. We saw those cracks, and we saw the light. How exciting it was for me to come to study at McGill, and what a headache I must have been for people in admission. There were so many things I did not understand. I spoke very little English and understood even less. I enrolled as a single student in an unusual program, crystallography. In fact, this year I realized why it is that I never had a class reunion. I was the only student. In all my ignorance of how things work, I did not know that there were people taking care of me. I remember vividly how much I liked my classes and how exciting it was for me to be doing research already in my second year. I discovered to my surprise that the professors teaching me were giants in their fields. My PhD supervisor, Gabrielle Donnet, and her husband, José, were among those giants. They not only introduced me to crystallography and its great international community, but also made me a part of their family and treated me like la prunelle de leurs yeux. And I'm honored and touched that their two sons, Albert and Victor, are here today. I'm trying, yes, they're over there. Et bien sûr, j'étais à Montréal. J'ai goûté à tout ce que la ville avait à offrir. Musique, littérature, danse, les arts visuels, la rencontre de plusieurs cultures, de plusieurs langues. Et je suis d'ailleurs ravie qu'un peu plus tôt dans la cérémonie, on a rendu hommage à Nathalie Bondil et Boris Brotte pour leur rapport exceptionnel à l'environnement culturel montréalais. Since returning to McGill in September, I've been diving deeply into the McGill of today. I'm pleased to see that what I loved about McGill during my time as a student remains strong. It's also exciting to be learning how McGill has changed and is changing. I sat in on several classes, from anthropology and law to water resource management and political science. I must say that I was afraid that the plugged-in students of today would be bored in the classroom. I was wrong. The students are engaged. The professors are engaged. This is the McGill I knew. I have seen how the students participate in the life of the university and community. The integration of student life and learning is not simply a concept here. It is a reality. Classroom learning still plays a very important role in education. You will not pick up quantum mechanics just walking down the street. But there is also so much learning that occurs outside the classroom and outside the campus. The university is reinventing itself for the 21st century. The challenges we face, the opportunities we explore, and the contributions we make, all of these extend well beyond our own campus and country. Nous avons la chance de vivre à une époque qui a une conscience profonde de l'importance du savoir, que ce soit pour notre développement en tant que citoyens de la même planète, le bien-être de l'être humain dans toutes ses dimensions, culturelles, sociales et économiques, ou l'exploration de ce grand univers qui est le nôtre et duquel nous connaissons si peu. We are at a carrefour, a time of confluence, with many things coming together in many ways. Notre place est au carrefour du savoir et de la créativité. As a university, our place is where knowledge and creativity meet. Our place is at the carrefour of diverse cultural perspectives, diverse disciplines, and different ways of knowing. Our place is also at the carrefour of the three elements of our mission. Teaching, research, and service to society do not stand in isolation. They feed one another, they shape one another, they push one another into unexpected directions. They demand participation and reject complacency. It can be messy at the carrefour. It's not easy to confront assumptions. It's not easy to push ourselves with questions for which there are not neat solutions at the back of the book. It's not easy to accept that sometimes it is not our answers that are wrongs, but our questions. It can be also a challenge to cultivate this highly dynamic culture filled with intense debate, and intense confrontation of ideas. We are the great collider. And even if the collider sometimes overheats, physics tells us that this is where you find the most exotic particles, the new ideas, the new paradigms, the discoveries. I'm coming back to a university that has a clear sense of identity, purpose, and direction. It's a community that, led by our provost, Tony Massey, has committed to a clear plan whose acronym, ASAP, speaks to the eagerness to put that plan into practice. It's a community that is embracing the value of inclusion and respect for cultural and individual diversity. A community that has set very high standards for itself and is dedicated to being accessible to everyone who shares that commitment to excellence. Our sights are high. We want our university to be a place of choice for the brightest talents, be they students, faculty, or staff. We want a teaching and research environment that is dynamic and innovative. We want an educational experience that resonates a lifetime and a university that responds to the needs of its neighborhood, its province, its country, its world. I recently received a book by one of our management professors, Henry Mintzberg. He wrote something that really resonates with me. What could be more natural, he asked, than to treat organization not as mystical hierarchies of authority, but as communities of engagement, where every member is respected and so returns that respect. In appointing me principal, you have given me the privilege and responsibility of working with the entire McGill community as a community of engagement to build on the strong foundation created through the hard work and dedication of so many people before us. I'm here today to draw upon the strengths and aspiration of this community and to crystallize their energy and ambitions into a vision and a future for our university that we can commit to because it comes from us. I've returned to serve my university with all my heart and energy. My sights are high and my hopes are great because of your own commitment and your pride in your institution. Un mot reflète ce moment extraordinaire, émerveillement. Mon admiration envers tout ce que vous avez accompli et mes aspirations envers tout ce qu'ensemble nous réussirons à accomplir. Not long ago, an 11-year-old boy was walking through the McGill campus with his grandmother. He turned to his grandmother, my sister Muriel, who is with us today, and declared, "C'est ici que je vais étudier. That's where I will study." His grandmaman challenged him, "Oui, mais il va falloir que tu aies des bonnes notes. You will have to have very good marks to get in, you know." He answered, "Ça ne sera pas un problème." "This will not be a problem." And when she added, "Il va falloir que tu apprennes l'anglais," he did not hesitate a second. "Tu vas voir, ça ne me prendra pas de temps." "You'll see, it won't take me long." Born to a Brazilian mother and a French-Canadian father, that boy exemplifies the new multicultural, multilingual generation. He is ready to be challenged. He is ready to embrace other cultures, other languages, and other ways of knowing. All he needs is for us to be ready for him. Merci de tout mon cœur.
I'm about to announce the last musical interlude, but I must say to Professor Fortier, this was all music to our ears. This last interlude, Le Verbe, second part, La Nativité du Seigneur by Olivier Messiaen, will be played now. And that is our last number, and to that we will have the benediction. Thank you.
Thank you.
the Secretary General, Mr. Stephen Stropel, to deliver the benediction.
Go now in peace to share the good news of this joyous occasion. May McGill and all universities be diligent in navigating the Carrefour and in the free and honest pursuit of knowledge for the benefit of all. D'où que nous venions et où que nous allions, humble et plein d'espoir, nous nous laisserons guider par l'amitié et la solidarité, et nous grandirons en sagesse. May you be blessed all your days.
We will now join Professor Winston Purdy, accompanied by Professor Hans Ola Eriksson, in the national anthem. And please be reminded that a vent d'honneur will take place in the Student Union building immediately following the ceremony, and that's out the door and just directly across the street. Thank you. Professor Purdy.
Right here. here.
Thank you.